we're going to continue on with that this morning. And we may go back over a few of the scriptures that we did last week just to kind of refresh us, and then we'll go on with what we got today. So, Beth, would you just put it on the screen for us, please? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. We won't turn to that one since it's just one verse. Is this the Amplified? Okay. It says, "The reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is the beginning and the principal and choice part of knowledge, its starting point and its essence. But fools despise skillful and godly wisdom, instruction, and discipline." Let's see, I got another one. Proverbs 9, verse 10 and 11, please. I can't hardly say that, so I'm going to read it here. This will be in the Amplified too. It says, "The reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is the beginning, the chief and choice part of wisdom." So for one thing, if you want wisdom, you better have some reverence, some respect for God, right? Because he says that's the beginning point, the chief and choice part of wisdom. "And the knowledge of the Holy One is insight and understanding. For by me, wisdom from God, your days shall be multiplied and the years of your life shall be increased." Now, remember, I looked up the word honor. It says to hold in high regard or respect. The word respect, you can interchange those, the word respect for honor, honor for respect. And respect means to show consideration to or esteem for, courtesy, considerate treatment. Excuse me. Now, we said last week that honor is in the heart, right? It's not of the head, because in Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 9, the Lord talked about, and Isaiah prophesied about how that people would honor him, honor God with their lips, right? That means they talk the talk, but no other way do they honor the Lord. And God wants it out of our hearts, honor toward him. You know, I told you the story last week that there was some people here, and I think a lot of it was just young ignorance and things. And how many knows you always have to deal with pride? Every day you have to deal with that baby, because somehow or another it tries to come up. And how many knows we cannot yield to that ever? That is the very nature of the devil himself, is pride. But anyway, excuse me, I told y'all the story about there was some people here, and they said that they wanted to honor Scotty. They wanted to buy him some kind of high, I think they called Rockfords or something. I really can't remember. But anyway, they were supposed to be like high dollar shoes, and whenever he took his shoes off for them to look inside to see what size they was, he had on some that they was dress shoes, but they was called Easy Spirit. I don't know if y'all have ever heard of those. But they're not like high dollar name brand or anything, but they're very comfortable to him. And if you know him, he don't care. He just, I mean, and Travis, he's pretty much the same way, you know. I mean, he went to see Beth whenever they was dating, and he had on a pair of white basketball shorts with cowboy boots and driving my old red and white truck. Sounds like his daddy, don't it? Come to see me at the ball game with green pants on that I think was probably his brother's. They was too short. Black high-top basketball shoes and a blue and red striped shirt that was too short. That was almost like a cut-off. So I kind of ignored him a little bit, you know. I mean, I got my friends there and everything, but anyway, I'm getting off on a different subject. But anyway, and so they kind of made fun of his shoes, you know, because they was called Easy Spirit or whatever. I mean, that's not honor. See, they're trying to honor him in their head, because honor's of the heart. If he was really honoring of the heart, you would not make fun of what he already had. Amen. And then later on, try to get people to leave the church with them. So that's not good. You never want to do that. Honor has to be of the heart, because when it's just of the head, it's not really honor. Right? Let's see here where I want to go. We read this one already, but let's look at it again. 1 Samuel chapter 2, just to refresh us before we get started. Now, we're all probably very familiar with this verse. He's talking, what God's talking about here is Eli. Eli is the high priest, and he's got two sons. And his sons, they're taking the offerings that they should not take. They're burning strange fire. They're doing all kinds of stuff in the temple. And God's services that they should not be doing. And God had promised them, you know, before that somebody would sit on in the priestly office from his lineage, but God changes his mind. So here in verse 27, we're going to pick that up in the Amplified. It says, a man of God came to Eli and said to him, thus has the Lord said, I plainly revealed myself to the house of your father, forefather Aaron, when they were in Egypt in bondage to Pharaoh's house. Moreover, I selected him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer on my altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me. And I gave from then on to the house of your father, forefather, all the offerings to the Israelites made by fire. Why then do you kick? He says, trample upon, treat with contempt. How many knows we should never trample upon or treat with contempt anything that's God's? He goes on and he says, my sacrifice and my offering is what they're treating with contempt. Kind of like I said last week, just nonchalant. You know, when you just take, even though it may be the full tithe, which means a tenth of your increase, your income or whatever, and you throw it in the plate, how many knows that's not really tithing? Tithing is of the heart. I can throw money anywhere and it may be 10% of my income. That doesn't mean that I'm tithing. And he says, so we should have respect for it. He says, my sacrifice and my offering, which I commanded, and honor your sons above me by fattening yourselves upon the choicest part of every offering of my people Israel. Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, says, I did promise that your house and that of your forefather Aaron should go in and out before me forever. But now the Lord says, how many knows what we do can change God's mind about what he said? He says, be it far from me, for those who honor me. Now, the word honor means to be in high regard or high respect. He says, for those who honor me, he says, I will honor you. And the greatest way that God can honor us is with himself. But how many knows there's even more greater than he does than just that? He comes among us, right? We bring the tithe and the offering. He says he honors us, right, by rebuking the devourer and all of that stuff. And he goes on here and he says, I will honor, he said, in those who despise me. Now, a lot of times we think of the word despise as hate. That's really not what it means. It means kind of like nonchalant, no big deal. You know, it's nothing major to you. He says, and those who despise me or think little of me shall be lightly esteemed. Now, let's look at Malachi 1. Now, we read this one last week, but we're going to get into some more stuff than a little further than what we did last week. I was actually surprised the way that some of y'all took this. Now, the word means to you whatever it means to you, and God says whatever he says to you through it, right? But to me, some of y'all saw it as correction or whatever, and maybe it was correction to you. I don't know. But when God started speaking to me about this, to me it was instruction. It was like God was saying to me, y'all have asked me for a lot, and this is my way of you getting it. This is my way of me being able to answer and honor you like you are honoring me. And so for me, it was like instruction. Do this and this and this, and you'll have what you ask for. Because how many knows if you want greater anointing in this house, all you got to do is get him here. He is the anointed one, right? You want a greater anointing? You want greater things, miracles and things? How many knows none of that comes unless he comes? But when he comes, everything comes with him. Now, there may be different ways that he manifests himself at different times. I mean, that's like I've been in services to where over here you've got one down there on their knees, and I mean they are just bawling. Over here you've got another one. They are dancing and leaping and praising God and just joy-filled. How many knows he can manifest himself in all different kinds of ways all at one time, however that we need him to, right? And I believe he's saying to us, this is, if you honor me, then I will honor you with everything that you've asked for. So that's what it was to me. But here in Malachi, what did I tell y'all? One? Well, I'm in four. Let's see. Verse 6. This is the Amplified. He says, a son honors his father. We know that to be in the Old and the New Testament, right? It says, children honor your parents, right? He says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. He says, if then I am a father, and we know he is the father of all, the creator of all things, right? So he is a father. He says, where is my honor? Or you could say, he says, where is my respect? You know, nowadays, and I don't want this to sound like religiously, because I don't mean it religiously, and God doesn't mean it religiously. But how many knows nowadays there is a lot of, what is the word I'm looking for? Dulling down. Just like I told you last week, I dress up when I come to church, especially on Sunday morning, you know, a little bit on Wednesday night, you know, I got on my t-shirt. But that's better than what I look at home. But anyway, you know, so I dress up a little bit on Sunday morning or whatever. I mean, nowadays, and I'm not trying to say nothing bad or anything, but I know what he's saying to us. And maybe it's okay if they do it. How many know sometimes people do things that God don't let you by with? And I've told God before, God, how come they get to do that? And he told me, he said, who said I told them they could? See, everybody doesn't do what God says to do, but we're going to, right? But a lot of times nowadays, I mean, you go somewhere and you got the pastor, I mean, and he's up there in a sweatsuit. Well, that's fine, but how he knows not necessarily for the house of God. Y'all not saying nothing. It's not the clothes. If you're going to meet the president, would you go meet him in flip-flops and short shorts? I highly doubt it. I mean, but let's be serious, okay? I mean, the president of the United States, we should show him honor, right? The Bible says give respect to whom respect, honor to whom honor is due, tithe to whom tithe is due, right? In the New Testament over there. So how many knows when we come before God, we should come before him a certain way? Not necessarily the clothes that you got on, but how many knows whenever your heart is right, your clothes, you will see a difference. So if my outward man is showing one thing, he's really showing what's in my heart, right? And God is saying, if I'm a father, then where's my respect? Where's my respect in the way that you dress, in the way that you looked, in the way that you conduct yourself, in the way that we conduct the services here, right? What verse we get to, y'all remember? Said too much, y'all done forgot too. I think we didn't even get done with six. We'll go back. A son honors his father and a servant his master. God says, if then I am a father, where is my honor or where is my respect? And if I am a master, where is the reverent fear due me? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priest, who despise my name. Now the word despise means thinks little of my name. You say, how and in what way have we despised or thought little of your name? He says, by offering polluted food upon my altar, and you ask, how have you polluted it and profaned you? By thinking that the table of the Lord is contemptible and may be despised or thought very little of. He goes on and he says, when you priests offer blind animals for sacrifice, is it not evil? We know that it is. He said, bring one without blemish, right? He goes on and he says, and when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Present such a thing, a blind or lame or sick animal, now to your governor in payment of your taxes and see what will happen. Will he be pleased with you or will he receive you graciously, says the Lord of hosts? Now then, I, Malachi, beg you, priest, entreat God earnestly that he will be gracious to us with such a gift from your hand as a defective animal for sacrifice. Will he accept it or show favor to any of you, says the Lord of hosts? Oh, that there were even one among you whose duty it is to minister to me. Notice how God takes this. He says when we do it, we're ministering to him, right? He goes on and he says, to minister to me. Where was that? Well, he said, yeah, verse 10. Who would shut the doors that you might not kindle fire on my altar to no purpose and empty, futile, fruitless pretense? Let's go over to, because I don't want to read that whole thing because we read it. But skip down to verse 12. He says, but you priests profane it when your actions you say the table of the Lord is polluted and the fruit of it, its food, is contemptible or may be despised or thought little of. He says, you say also, behold, what a drudgery and a weariness this is. Don't ever let giving to God or giving for God or to God or whatever, or anything that you become a drudgery to you. How many knows all of us can fall into that at different times? Your flesh gets tired. I don't care if you've got a job tasting pie in a pie factory. How many knows after a little bit of time goes by, pie don't taste all that good anymore? So just like we come and we do this over and over and over, we cannot let what we do for God become a drudgery or think little of it. I don't care what we're doing, if we're toting boxes, cleaning the church, or whatever the case may be, right? And he goes on and he says, drudgery and weariness this is, and you have sniffed at it, says the Lord of hosts, and you have brought that which was taken by violence, or the lame or the sick, this you bring as an offering. Shall I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed is the cheating deceiver who has a male in his flock and vows to offer it, yet sacrifices to the sovereign Lord a blemished or diseased thing. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is terrible and to be reverently or respectfully feared among the nations. Look at Malachi 2, since we're hearing this. I think I want to start at verse 10. He says, have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why then do we deal faithlessly and treacherously, each against his brother, profaning the covenant of God with our fathers? Judah has been faithless and dealt treacherously, and an abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah, that is, Jewish men, has profaned the holy sanctuary of the Lord, which he loves, and has married the daughter of a foreign god, having divorced his Jewish wife. Now, we know over in the New Testament, it says don't be unequally yoked together with a non-believer. That's not just marriage. How many knows you should not go into business with somebody that does not have a covenant with God? Why? Partners. Because you're going to have half ownership. So you're going to have half say-so, and the other person is going to have half say-so. And when you don't serve God, how many knows your priorities are different? Your thinking is different. Your goals are different. He goes on here and says, the Lord will cast out of the tents of Jacob to the last man those who do this evil thing, the master and the servant or the pupil alike, even him who brings an offering to the Lord of hosts. How far? 14. He says, and this you do with double guilt. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, shed by your unoffending wives, divorced by you, that you might be taken, that you might take heathen wives, and with your own weeping and crying out, because the Lord does not regard your offering anymore. Why did it say he didn't regard his offering anymore? Don't remember what we just read? How are they not honoring God? He just said there, he said, because you divorce your wife to marry a foreign woman, right? Let's go back and read it. He says here, Judah has been faithless and dealt treacherously, and an abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah, that is, Jewish men, has profaned the holy sanctuary of the Lord, which he loves, and has married the daughter of a foreign god, having divorced his Jewish wife. It says, the Lord will cast out the tents of Jacob to the last man, those who do this evil thing, the master and the servant or the pupil alike, even him who brings an offering to the Lord of hosts. And this you do with double guilt. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, shed by your offending wives, divorced by you, that you might take heathen wives, and with your own weeping and crying out, because the Lord does not regard your offering any more or accept it with favor at your hand. He says, yet you ask, why does he reject it? Notice what he says. Because the Lord was witness to the covenant made at your marriage. I had never, until last week when the Lord showed me this, I had never made the connection between honoring God right here like he's talking about here and God honoring me and the marriage relationship. I knew that it was a covenant of three people. I don't care if you're saved or you're lost. You understand? God created marriage. God is the one that created covenant. Whenever God made Adam, he looked around and he said, there's not anybody suitable for him. So what's he do? He goes, takes a piece of Adam and he makes Eve and brings her. What was that? God brought her to him and said, you two become one. Now you be fruitful and you multiply. So God is the one that instituted the marriage covenant. And how many knows it's sacred to him? It's holy to him. He does not take that lightly whenever we break it. Now, you may have been married and divorced 15 times, and I don't care. But how many knows today is the day of salvation? Whatever you've done, whatever you've been, or anything like that, that's the end of that. You start from now, right? You can't change that, but you can change now. I can't tell you. I'll be married 40 years this year to the same man. Lord, help me. And he does. And he helps you. Bless your little heart. That's not easy. Really not easy. Especially when you take two kids, one's 14, the other one's 18, but the 18 is probably, acts like he's about 12, but anyway, you take two kids, 14 and 18, and you let them get married, and they got nobody over them, and they're just wild. And then you go through life every day, year after year after year. Do you imagine how many things you could possibly go through in a marriage, in a relationship? I'm telling you, all kinds of things, things I don't even want anybody to even know anything about. And yet we're still here. You know why we're still here? Not because God kept us together. He don't keep anybody together. He will help you stay together. That's His desire for you to stay together, to stay married, right? Because He wants the marriage relationship. It's a covenant, and God doesn't break covenant. And especially God's children are not supposed to break their marriage covenant. Now, I have been through all kinds of stuff. Like I said, it's things that I wouldn't even want people to know about in my marriage and all that. And the only reason that we are still married today is because, number one, God is for us, and we, too, keep doing what He says to do. I mean, y'all heard the story when God had to be my therapist, right? Y'all remember that? Think back toward the end of last year or whatever. I knew I needed a therapist or somebody or something, but Scotty wouldn't give me one, so the Lord, He just had to. And I did not realize that when that said counselor, when it said counselor, I'm thinking, okay, I need some counsel, you know, do I do this or do I do that? But no, He will be an absolute therapist if you need Him to be. You know why I needed Him to be? Because you can get in a mess, an absolute mess. But see, because I've been married nearly 40 years, and we just keep giving in. Keep giving in to God. Keep giving in to the Word. The first thing that we done after we saw that was that the Bible says in Malachi here, God hates divorce. We both put that in our hearts. No longer are we ever going to say, I want a divorce. That has to be out as an option. Because any time that it's still an option, it's still right there for you to get a hold of. So I thought, over the years, I've thought, okay, I can't divorce him. I'm talking about when I get mad at him or something, whatever, he don't do what I want or whatever the case might be, you know. Okay, God, I can't divorce him. But I doggone don't have to live with him. Oh, gosh, y'all just don't even know. One time we had a camper up there in the backyard, and I'm going to move out. I can't divorce him, but Samantha, I'm moving to the camper. I don't want to see your face no more. Y'all not saying nothing. I'm talking about me, not y'all. I know y'all would never have any kinds of thoughts like that, ever. I mean, and that one's just been a couple of years ago, you know, that I was thinking, okay, I'm out of here. You know, and then not too long ago, I thought, I am out of here. I'm too old for this mess. I can do bad all by myself. But the thing about it is, you have those thoughts. You think those thoughts. Now, don't let yourself think on them long or whatever, because you need to cast those out. But how many knows when the heart is right toward God, all of that, He can get rid of all of that. He can help you to forgive all of that, whatever that it was. Listen, it doesn't matter what it is somebody's done to you. There's nothing that you cannot forgive. Nothing. Now, let's go on here with this before I run out of time, before I get to what I really want to get to. You remember where we got? I think it was 14. I think you're right. It says, yet you ask, why does He reject it? Talking about your offering. Because the Lord was witness to the covenant made at your marriage between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously and to whom you were faithless. How many knows it takes faith to stay married? Yes, it does. He says, yet she is your companion and the wife of your covenant made by your marriage vows. Excuse me. And did not God make you and your wife one flesh? It says, did not one make you and preserve your spirit alive? And why did God make you two one? Because He sought a godly offspring from your union. He says, therefore take heed to yourselves and let no one deal treacherously and be faithless to the wife of his youth. He says, for the Lord, the God of Israel, says, I hate divorce and marital separation. Doggone it, there goes my camper. God just ruined it all there, don't He? He hates divorce and he hates separation too. So now I can't move to the camper. Can't move out in the shed. Can't move nowhere else. Another time I was going to split the house. He's going to take the kitchen and the bathroom and the bedroom back there, and I'm going to take the living room and the bedroom and this and here. See how dumb we do sometimes without the Lord. Let's go on here. Y'all remember now where we got to again? Is it 16? It says, "For the Lord, the God of Israel, says, I hate divorce and marital separation, and him who covers his garment, his wife, with violence. Therefore, keep a watch." Did you hear what he said? "Keep a watch upon your spirit, that it may be controlled by my spirit." He says that you deal not treacherously and faithlessly with your marriage mate. It says, "You have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, in what way have we wearied him? You do it when by your actions you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them, or by asking, where is the God of justice?" Now go over to Beth, can you put us up Hebrews 13, verse 4, please? We'll just let her put that up there. We'll read it. Now, this is New Testament because it's Hebrews. It says, "Let marriage be held in honor, esteemed worthy, precious, of great price, and especially dear in all things. And thus let the marriage bed be undefiled, kept undishonored, for God will judge and punish the unchaste, all guilty of sexual vice and adulteress." Now, notice what he says there. He says, keep marriage held in honor. How many people that you know, they just really hold their marriage in high honor and esteem? It's precious to them that you've been married over a week. How many knows we have to do this in our heart on purpose? Because any time that I don't, or think little of it, then how many knows it's easier for me to say I'm moving to the camper? Or it's easier for me to say, we're going to split the house, you know, and you're going to get one side and out. Why? Because we cannot do that. We have to stay one. So, hey, I seen a thing on Facebook here a while back. It says, we're not ever going to get a divorce. You get upset at me, go take you a nap, and we'll try again when you get up. How many knows that's the way you do it? Or you go pray or something. Sometimes you just got to get away from each other for a little while and let God talk to you. Let God deal with your heart. Let God show you where maybe you was the one that was in the wrong when you think you're so right. Amen? Because this is important. Very important. This is more important to us than it is to the world. And how many knows when God's children get married and they stay married, it honors him. It brings glory to him. They say now it's something like 70% divorce rate in the church and about 50 to 60% in the world. How many knows that's not good at all? That brings no honor or glory to God. Let's look at Mark 10. Everybody should have just read this. I think it was the last chapter we read Friday, wasn't it? I'm going to read this in the Amplified, too. What did I have? 1 through 9. Verse 1. It says, "And Jesus left there Capernaum and went to the region of Judea and beyond, east of the Jordan, and crowds constantly gathered around him again. And as was his custom, he began to teach them again." Why? See, a lot of times all we think about is the miracles that happened whenever Jesus got around people or they got around him. But how many knows faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word? If you'll notice, a lot of places it says, "And he taught and he preached and he teach." It says, "And some Pharisees came up, and in order to test him and try to find a weakness in him, asked." Number one, they're asking the question with wrong motives. But it says, "Is it lawful for a man to dismiss and repudiate and divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They replied, "Moses allowed a man to write a bill of divorce and put her away." But Jesus said to them, "Why? Because of your hardness of heart is why Moses gave you permission to divorce them." I don't ever want to be able, God say that about me, that my heart is so hard. right? He says, because of your hardness of heart, your condition of insensibility to the call of God. He's talking about being married and divorced. And he says here, to the call of God. It says, your condition of insensibility to the call of God, he wrote you this precept in your law. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave behind his father and his mother and be joined to his wife and cleave closely to her permanently. And the two shall become one flesh, so that they are no longer two, but one flesh. We know that was in Genesis, right? Adam and Eve, that's the very thing that he said to them. You two become one. He goes on and he says, and the two shall become one flesh, so that they are no longer two, but one flesh. Verse 9, what therefore God has united, joined together, let no man separate or divide. He said, and indoors the disciples questioned him again about this subject, and he said to them, whoever dismisses his wife, divorces her, and all that, causes her to commit adultery and all of that. But notice what he said there. He said, God did not say that it's okay for you to get a divorce. Right? Ain't that what he said? I mean, in so many words, God never said it was okay. Moses said it was okay because your heart's so hard. How do we soften our heart? How do we keep it moldable and pliable, right? The Bible says that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, be moldable and pliable, right? He'll give us the desires of our heart. I believe that means God puts his desires in our heart, but then also desires that of our heart, he will give them to us. Well, how do we stay soft and moldable and pliable in his hands? Humble yourself. Right? He says if we will humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he will lift us up. How many knows when we humble ourselves before God, the Bible says we get the grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor, but it's also God's ability on my heart to do what I cannot do. Right? So if I humble myself before the Lord, cry out before the Lord, tell him, God, I think I'm right, but I'm probably wrong. I tell Scotty I'm always right. You know why? Scientifically proven. I think with the right side of my brain, and the man thinks with the left side of his brain. How many knows that ain't right? I mean, they say that is true, scientifically, but that doesn't mean that I'm always right. Now listen, we have to have mind renewal to this stuff. And this is one of the things that God was talking to me about is you have to take this word and you have to renew your mind with it. Because a lot of people today, it's nothing. They think it's not a big deal for people, that born again people, to get a divorce. How many knows divorce is never a good thing? There's always some kind of tearing or ripping or something that happens. Why? Because you have been made one. You've been made that way. Now, and God doesn't take it lightly. Let's go on here. Let's see what the other one was. Malachi 3. A lot of good stuff in Malachi. Now we know that the verse 1, you know, is talking about bringing the tithe and all of that and your offerings. Verse 10, he tells us to bring all the tithes, the whole tenth of your income, into the storehouse. He says that there may be food in my house. And prove me now by it, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open. Now this is God honoring. We honor him with our tithes and our offerings, right? And this is him honoring us. It says, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer, insects and plagues. He says, for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine drop its fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you happy and blessed, for you shall be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. Notice this, what the next thing he's saying. He says, your words have been strong and hard against me. Does that sound like honoring the Lord? That would be dishonoring, wouldn't it? Your words have been strong and hard against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. Don't ever let that come out of your mouth, because that's a lie of the devil. Your worst day with God will ever be better, will always be better than your whenever you was without him, in other words. He goes on and he says, you have said, it is useless to serve God. And what profit is it if we keep his ordinances and walk gloomily and as if in mourning apparel before the Lord of hosts. And now we consider the proud and arrogant to be happy and favored. Evildoers are exalted and prosper, yes, and when they test God, they escape unpunished. How many knows you do not? You reap what you sow. Might not be right then, but you always going to reap what you sow. Scripture. He says, now notice the Lord heard all of this. God hears what we say. Me and Scotty was having a conversation. I think it may have been Thursday evening. Now, I don't like to talk about people. I try not to. I do sometimes, but I try not to. I try to do what the Bible says, think the best, love thinks the best of every person, you know, and all of that kind of stuff. Well, anyway, we're in conversation, and me and him in conversation about some things or whatever, and people start getting brought up. Not that we're talking about people, just their scenario gets brought in because of what we're talking about or whatever, you know. And I told him, I said, well, you know, let's just keep it right here. I don't want to talk about them. You know, because I don't know their heart, I don't know their thoughts, yada, 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 yada. I went outside, and when I closed the door, I heard the Lord say, y'all honored me with that conversation. Do you understand what I'm telling you? When you talk about people, God hears it. When you talk about God, God hears it. Everything we say, God hears. In New Testament, I believe it's in the book of Matthew, it says we'll give an account for every idle word that we speak out of our mouth. But how he knows, God says here, I heard what you said. We know that he heard what Miriam and Aaron said, right, against Moses, and God took it as talking about him. Well, we have to be careful. Why? Because we want God to be honored in our conversations. Don't you? Then what's that mean? Everybody don't need to know everything I need to know that I know about everybody. Y'all not saying nothing. So if I want God to honor me, then I need to be honorable in what I say, shouldn't I? And who I talk about and what I tell about and all kinds of stuff like that. Now notice the next thing he says. He says they wearied him and all of that. Then verse 16, it says, then those who feared the Lord. Oh, here we are. Those who reverence, respected the Lord, talked often one to another, and the Lord listened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who reverenced, respected, and worshipfully feared the Lord and who thought on his name. Did you see that? When we talk to each other about the Lord. I notice, me and Scotty, we can talk about the Lord and, oh, the anointing just increases. And I mean, I can finish what he's going to say and he can finish my sentence or whatever. But I noticed if we ever get off, we ever get on something else, if we get on people or something else, it just seems like the atmosphere kind of starts going downhill. Why is that? How many of you have to bring it back? Just like he said here, he said those that respected the Lord, he said they often talked to one another. And do you realize, a book, God made a book of our conversations. When we're talking about him, when we reverence him, he says, and notice what he says here, reverenced and worshipfully feared the Lord and who thought on his name, and they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I publicly renounce and openly declare them to be my jewels, my special possession, my peculiar treasure, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then you shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him who serves God and him who does not serve him. So we need to honor God in our conversations and then the things that we say about him, right? And the things that we say about one another. I have been endeavoring to work on this more and more because I talk a lot. What am I? By myself. That's the weirdest thing. I talk more by myself a lot of times than when I'm with people. Because usually I'm griping when I'm by myself. For an example, y'all heard about the clothes in the floor. Well, now it's not the clothes in the floor, it's other things, you know. Scotty is sometimes the man is just a mess maker. It follows him. I don't know how. It just follows him sometimes. Now, he has his own little couch over there and his recliner and a little table with his lamp and all that stuff. And he's got Germex and tissue boxes and, I mean, all kinds of stuff over there. You know, Blistex for his lips and his glasses and all kinds of stuff. And sometimes I look over there and bless his heart. There's a tea bottle. There's a lemon juice water bottle half full over there. There's six used tissue papers over there. And I'm like, and he just gets up and leaves all that. And then sometimes his plate will be over on the other chair. And he just gets up, and sometimes he cleans it up. But I mean, he's kind of like, do it later, he thinks, I think. But anyway, he'll get up and he'll go outside or do whatever he does, because his thing, he'll run home, get a 10-minute power nap, and here he goes off again. But Lord, it's a mess he makes with the 10 minutes while he's there a lot of times. So he'll get up and he'll go on, you know, and then for you know, and I can't stand that. So I get up and I go over there and I start getting his used tissue papers and different things like that, and I start talking. I don't even know why I start talking. Lord, I'm telling you right now, I know good and well he could do better than this. Now, this just makes me feel like he just don't care, and yada, 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 yada. There is a reason that the devil wants you talking. The Bible says a wise woman builds her house. The other kind does what? Tears it down with her own words, the Bible says. So one of the things that I have been working on for me to help me, because of what the Word says, and I want to do what the Bible says, is I go over there and I start to get that tissue paper. And God, I'm telling you, shut up. Just shut up. Shut up, Teresa. I tell myself that. Just shut up. It doesn't matter. Shut up right now. You got to get control of yourself. Why? God's not going to control you. The devil wants to, but you better not let him. See, I'm tearing my house down. Plus, God hears everything that I'm saying. And if I disrespect my husband, oh, gosh, y'all made me get on this. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. It'd do you good to read it every day, especially for a while till you know what it says. I'm still reading it every day. Reason being is before I read that, I pray and I tell the Lord, thank you, God. Y'all remember that was called God's Ideal Woman? We was on that, I think, for a couple of months maybe or whatever. And it was talking about how that we treat our husbands. Oh, y'all looking really cheery now. How we treat our husbands. And the first thing that he said to do is respect. Honor, defer to, praise, esteem, honor, and enjoy your husband. Adore him in the human sense, it says. Why? When I do all of this, I'm doing it to God. Now see, that should make y'all real happy. I told the Lord the other day, I prayed before I read that in the morning times, because I still read that one, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. Why? I know I'm not there yet. God has done a work, but God's still doing one. And one of the things that I say that I realize he's doing in that, I say, God, I thank you that you have made me your ideal woman. But I thank you, Lord, you're renewing my mind. Renewing my mind. Why does God tell us to do this, ladies? To make us miserable? To make us feel less than? No, absolutely not. Why? He can honor you more. See, he says if I honor him, God will honor me. Whether he's honorable or not makes no difference. I mean, you can be a person without honor, but you can make yourself a person that has honor. How do I know that? According to the Word, this is the kingdom. Right? Mark 4, Matthew 13, and Luke 8. The Bible says that our ground is the heart, right? His word is the seed. So if I don't honor people much and I want to be a person of honor, go plant that seed. Go plant that seed and plant that seed and plant that seed and water that seed and water that seed. That's exactly what I'm doing every day when I read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. I have planted that word and now I'm watering that word, and that word is beginning to renew my mind. Where I used to see honoring my husband and respecting my husband as a bad thing, I now see it as a good thing that God is doing for me. Because if I honor him, God will honor me. He may never honor me, but God will honor me. Why? Because I'm honoring God. Because, see, it's not about him, it's about place. Just like children with parents. It's not because your parents are so smart or because your parents are so... It's about place. You understand that? Just like five-fold ministry, just like elderly people. Younger are supposed to treat the elders with respect, right? That means you don't talk to them any kind of way. You're supposed to talk to them as you would talk to your mothers and your fathers and things like that. Amen? I've got to stop because our time is up. But I want to encourage you that God wants to honor us. He wants to give us everything that we've asked for. And he's not talking about just us honoring him here in these services. Just like what I was talking about earlier, me and Scotty, our conversations. I want to be honored at my home. I want to be honored on my job if I have a job, whatever that I do. We should be some of the most honorable people around. Why? Because we're God's people, right? Does anybody have anything they would like to share or comments or anything before we close?